The Simply Strategic Show with Tim Stevens and Tony Morgan.
Tim, I don't want to be a big complainer guy or anything.
Oh, that's good.
But is it just me or does the sun never shine in South Bend, Indiana?
Well, that's a great question, but I don't think it's as bad as you think it is.
Really?
I think the sun's out on occasion.
Yeah, on occasion.
Well, right. But you said, does it never shine? I think it's out on occasion.
I'm thinking what we need to do is try to track down one of those South Bend weathermen.
Person.
What's the politically
correct? Meteorologist.
Oh, yeah. One of them guys.
Yeah.
Or women.
We've got a few of those in town here.
We need to track down one of those people and have them explain to us why the sun rarely shines in South Bend, Indiana.
Well, you know, I have some stats on that I'm going to share later in the show. Because
Weather
stats.
Do you just walk around with these weather stats in your attaché case with you all the time, or how do you?
It's a generational thing that I inherited. I'm into weather. My grandmother was into weather.
So you're one of these guys that just sits around at night watching the Weather Channel?
My grandma, every day on her calendar, you didn't ask this, I'm going to tell you. Every day on her calendar, she would write the temperature that it was. I mean, and she'd keep these calendars over time. I'm not sure what she did with that information, but it's in my blood. It's in the DNA.
That explains a lot.
I mean, I don't know what to say. I like weather.
So, all right. Well, today's show, other than talking about the weather and how crummy it is here in South Bend, Indiana, we are going to be talking about the disadvantages of doing ministry with ministry silos. Our folks probably aren't familiar with ministry silos, but that is precisely the reason why they're listening to our podcast today, Tim.
And the connection is silos are typically outside in the weather.
In the weather. Well, I'm glad there was some connection there.
I just want to make sure people got that.
All right. Well, I'm Tony. I'm here with Tim. We're talking about the weather and ministry at your church today. You're listening to the Simply Strategic Show.
Our love will carry me on. In the afternoon, I was worried about the future.
All right, Tim, today we're talking about ministry silos. Sometimes we call them around Granger Federation of Sub-Ministries.
Yeah.
When we're talking in that lingo, can you kind of elaborate with the audience what we're trying to address?
Yeah. Ministry silos tend to happen very naturally in a church if you don't work really hard to avoid them. And that happens when you've got well-intentioned, great ministries. Let's say you have your youth ministry, and they have, you know, their mission and their vision and what they're doing and what they're trying to accomplish as a ministry. And maybe you have your women's ministry, and they have their mission and their vision. You have your missions group, and you have your choir, and you have your children's ministry. And they've each kind of created these own silos unto themselves, and they're all underneath maybe the umbrella of an overarching ministry, but there's nothing cohesive in it, and mm-hmm. they're all standing alone. And this came alive to us a few years ago when I was visiting a church down south, and a big church, and grabbed this CD or cassette, I don't know which it was, that they handed out to newcomers as people walked out of the church. And it was a great idea, and I grabbed it and came back and listened to it to see if there's anything we could plug in. And the senior pastor talked on the CD for a few minutes about their mission and vision, how they could reach families and what they had to offer and all that, which was really cool. But then there was a chance for every other ministry leader or director in that church. They each had like a little track on there, a 3-4 minute deal. And there was nothing that connected back to what the pastor said that the mission was of the church. And so it was all this kind of disconnected, non-unified ministry going on.
And it's a tough thing to balance because you want ministry leaders to be passionate about the ministry that they're involved in. But by the same token, you don't want that passion to supersede the overall vision of the church.
Yeah, that's right. And as the church gets bigger, that's even harder because you've got stronger leaders and you've got more people and you've got there's a further disconnect from the senior leader. You get further and further away from him or her as you go through the organization. And so you really have to work hard.
What do you see if this disconnect is happening, what are some symptoms that things may be going in a negative direction?
I think you can you initially see it with either body language, with turf guarding, with, you know, conversations where you're really trying to protect, maybe it's your people, or you're trying to protect your room, or you're trying to protect some of your resources, and it's kind of this is mine and that's yours, and you're not sharing resources, you're not sharing people, you're not willing to give up something in your area in order to help another area or to help the whole church because you see it as beneficial for the church overall.
Right.
People tend to get really focused because they're building a silo, and you know what's going on next door or across the street doesn't matter as much because they're building their silo, and so you forget about the organization as a whole.
All right, so if the objective then is to avoid these silo ministries, what are some things that churches can do? What has worked at Granger specifically to help avoid those situations?
I think a couple things that we have put in place in regards to systems. One is making sure we have a unified vision. And years ago, we did have kind of the individual mission statements and vision statements. And for the most part—
For each ministry. Yeah.
And for the most part, we have gotten everyone kind of focused in the same direction. So our mission statement as a church is helping people take their next step towards Christ together. And so, you know, the mission statement for, let's say, junior high should be helping junior hires take their next step towards Christ together.
Right.
And getting each of the various areas to take some of those foundational documents and philosophies that we have and to be able to communicate them in an age-appropriate and specific way for their areas. That's helped. Also, the way that we do the budget, I think, helps us do that, where we really focus on tying it back to the mission, tying it back to the purposes of the church as we understand them.
Well, and we've completely eliminated departmental fundraising, essentially. I mean, I've gone into some churches, organizations, what have you, and there's a bake sale for this and a car wash for that, and this group over here is trying to raise money for this women's ministry or men's ministry, and everybody's kind of trying to get their pot of money so that they can do their thing. And at Granger, we've completely eliminated that.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Everything is funded out of tithes and offerings so that our ministry leaders can focus on doing ministry rather than trying to raise money.
Yeah, that's right. What happens when you do that departmental fundraising is you've got the person who's maybe the most charismatic or that maybe the best leader, or maybe they're the best communicator, and they get all the money, and it's not necessarily what the leadership would have made the top priority,
right.
But because of their skills, they're able to raise the most money, and so that tends to be where the focus goes.
And then on the other hand, you have the people that have money that are being pestered to give up their money on multiple different fronts. So by keeping this unified budget, it helps us maintain our unified vision, but it also then helps our ministry leaders focus on ministry, and it helps people in our congregation focus on taking their next steps toward Christ without having to try to answer to all these requests for additional monies.
Yeah, and that's huge. That's important.
And besides vision and money, are there other issues, other ways that churches can help avoid these ministry silos?
I think it's real important for our senior management team, in our case, for whatever that leadership team is. They have to play a huge role in maintaining the unified ministry. I think they do that in the way they talk or the way they communicate decisions. For example, we meet together as a senior management team, and we decide, you know, maybe we're working on the budget. We decide that the priority this year is going to be high school ministry or whatever. And so when the arts guy comes out of that meeting, well, he can communicate that one of two ways. You know, he can say, yeah, high school people, they got all the money. Or he can say, we, as a church, decided that this is the priority, and here's, you know, how we as an arts team are going to support that as well. And it communicates that unity, and I think really carries through the rest of the team.
And I've heard you say, actually, there have been other great leaders that have probably said this, everything comes down to time and money.
Yeah.
And so in addition to money, which we've talked quite a bit about, it's about time, too.
Yeah.
Scheduling facility space, what the focus for ministry is going to be. If you can kind of help keep that calendar unified in addition to keeping your budget unified, that's going to help you maintain that unified vision.
Right, exactly.
All right. Well, Tim, this has been helpful, avoiding the ministry silos, but I still have questions about the weather and how stinky it is. In fact, we've been reading a lot about global warming. And if we get one of these weather persons on the line,
meteorologists,
my question would be, would global warming actually help improve weather in South Bend. Because if that's the case, I may be all for global warming.
And you think by being all for it, it will happen more and would affect our weather?
I don't know. These are the questions that the weather person could answer.
It's a meteorologist.
And
I don't think it's going to make a whole lot of difference. Maybe you just shouldn't focus on it.
Okay.
But after this next break, I have a little quiz I put together.
Oh, that's right. The weather questions that were in your attaché case.
Yes.
All right. Well, we should do that. Folks, you're listening to Tim, the attaché case weather expert over there, and Tony, the guy that has questions for the weather person on the Simply Strategic Show. We'll be back in a moment.
Risen gates won't open up for me. On these hands and knees I'm crawling. I'll reach for you. Well, I'm terrified of these four walls. Zion bars.
Now, Tim, usually when we do this stuff, I'm the one that's coming with the insightful and clever new segments for our show.
Or just new segments.
Or that. But you've been doing your homework.
I do. I have here in my hands this piece of paper.
Very good.
I like doing that.
Yeah, I can see
like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're gonna do a little weather quiz here.
A weather quiz.
And in fact,
how will it work?
I've named the segment, by the way. I'm going to ask you questions. And this
okay.
is about South Bend weather for the most
South
part.
South Bend weather.
Or Indiana weather. And we're going to see how well you do.
Or Indiana. So that you got to help me get a frame of reference,
Each
Tim.
Question will define what the question is about.
Okay. All so right. You really so don't... you're going to ask me questions and I'm going to answer them.
That's right. And there's approximately six. In fact, there's exactly six questions.
Six questions.
So we're going to see how well you do.
Okay. Now, part of, you got to get used to this, Tim. When you introduce new segments like this, you have to actually name the segment.
I was getting ready to do that. You interrupted me.
Okay.
The segment is called Whether You Wanted to Know or Not.
Oh, that's clever.
A little double entendre there.
Yeah.
Okay.
We should put you in charge of these segments from now on.
Well, I'm doing this one.
Okay.
We'll see after
All right.
that. Okay, here we go. First question.
Yes.
Of the 271 largest cities in the United States.
271 large cities.
How many have a grid?
Was it Pleasant Hill? Pleasantville, Iowa?
You're going to confuse yourself if you don't
okay,
focus.
Okay, all right. 271 large cities.
In the United States. How many have a greater number of cloudy days than South Bend, Indiana? A greater number of cloudy days.
Is this multiple choice?
Yes.
Okay.
Here's your choices. 246 of them.
This is more cloudy days than we have.
Correct.
Okay, 246.
123.
123.
61.
Uh-huh.
Or 30.
I'm going to go with C. 61.
61 is the answer.
See?
You are correct.
I know my weather, Tim.
That's right.
About as well as your aunt. Was it your aunt that followed the weather?
It was my grandmother.
Your
thank
grandmother.
You very much.
Did she overcook her broccoli?
I don't recall
I
ever.
Just wanted to know if that was a family tradition.
My aunt overcooked my broccoli? Where'd you get this?
Your mom, remember?
She overcooked my broccoli?
That was a prior episode, Tim. Question number two.
That was a different partner. Okay, so there we go. This is a true or false.
Okay, true or false.
South Bend has more sunny days each year than cloudy days. True or false? More sunny days than cloudy days.
I'm thinking you're going to try to trap me on this one.
You did come into this podcast with a very negative attitude about our weather.
I did. And I'm going to stick with my gut here. I think we have more cloudy days than we have sunny days.
So is your answer true or false? Don't confuse me.
Well, what was the question again?
True or false? South Bend has more sunny days each year than cloudy days.
False.
You are correct. South Bend has 172 sunny days a year and 193 cloudy days each year on average.
Why do we live here, Tim?
It's a great place.
All right. So I'm two for two.
You're
so
two
far,
for two.
Just in case you're keeping score at home.
I'm keeping score here. Okay, number three. Of the 283 largest cities in the United States.
So now we've added a few more large cities.
We included 12 more.
So Pleasant Hill might be in this group then.
It's possible. Of those, how many have more days of snowfall each year than South Bend?
Okay, we get quite a bit of snow, so. Okay, go ahead. Is this multiple choice again?
Excuse me, I misstated the question. It's
okay.
Not more days. It's how many have a greater amount of snow each
okay,
year.
You're trying to confuse me.
In inches.
Okay, so we're going in inches. How many of these 283 cities have more snow? Okay.
Exactly.
Is this multiple choice?
A, 120.
120.
B, 90.
90.
C, 60.
Uh-huh.
D, 30. Of the 283, how many have more snow?
And these are the largest cities in the U.S.
They are.
I would say...
Including Guam.
We get quite a bit of snow here. I'm going to say D, 30.
You are correct. This is unbelievable.
Dustin, are you seeing this? Are you watching this? Just call me Mr. Weather Person.
Do you know what's interesting? Because a little weather trivia here, because I'm into weather.
Yeah.
Is of those 30, 7 of them are in Alaska.
Really?
So only 23 are not in Alaska.
So the only thing that would be worse than living in South Bend, Indiana is moving to Alaska.
Yes, and we average 71 inches of snow a year, just for those that are keeping
71
track.
Inches.
All right. The fourth question, and you're doing good. You're 3 for 3.
Yep.
Average number of days that the mean temperature, do you know what that means?
Yes, I do, Tim.
Okay. That the mean temperature in South Bend.
Who do you make me out to be?
It was just a question. I wanted to clarify for you. I didn't want it to be unfair.
Okay.
I'm going to start over. Average number of days that the mean temperature in South Bend gets above 90 degrees in an average year.
Okay.
Is it 5?
Over 90.
Is it 13? Is it 21? Or is it 27?
The average number of days that were over 90 degrees.
That the mean temperature gets over.
That the mean temperature.
Yeah. That doesn't mean angry.
That would be A, 5.
A, 5. Buzz. It was B, 13.
Oh, well, there you go.
You're still 3 for 4.
It's warm. It snows a lot, but it's warm when it snows. Okay.
This is very similar. And so you also have to understand what mean means. Okay. Average number of days the mean temperature in South Bend gets below 32 degrees in a year.
Okay.
Is it 32 days, 64 days, 98 days, or 124 days?
Below 32 mean. B. Whatever B was.
B was 64.
64.
You are way off. It's 124.
See?
That's why you hate the weather here.
Well, yeah, that's probably true.
124 days.
I knew it snowed a lot. I just didn't think it was so cold. Okay.
Yeah, I guess it
is. So is there one more question?
There's one more.
Okay. Good, so, because this, like, we're starting to, like, go with a segment here.
You think this is getting long?
Yeah, it's a little bit.
All right. Okay, there's lots of tornadoes in Indiana. We know
okay,
that.
Okay, yes.
In fact, only 5 states have had more deaths caused by tornado in the last 50 years in Indiana. Name 3 of those states.
All right. Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
Kansas.
Kansas.
And... Tennessee.
Tennessee. You are wrong on all 3 counts. It's Texas, Mississippi, Arkansas, Alabama, and Michigan. Mm-hmm. And Oklahoma is the 7th, where Indiana is the 6th.
How about that?
So there you go. Weather trivia.
All right.
You got 3 for 6. That's not bad.
That's not bad.
That's 50%.
I'm not convinced that the weather is so hot, but as I've stated before in writing, it's the real men of God that do ministry in a place like Indiana.
It really shows the stuff you're made of.
That's right. No sissy ministries like in Florida or California or Perth, Australia, Bruce. Sissies.
That's right.
Sissies. Okay. All right. Well, folks, that's a little weatherology from the meteorologist, Tim Stevens, and executive pastor. What a combination. We should call the show a wrap, Tim, because I think that segment was plenty long enough. So
let's close with the English chick.
We should do that.
I've heard she's back in our area again.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We should have her on the show sometime.
We should have her on the show.
All right. You've been listening to the Simply Strategic Show. We'll be back with you next week.
You've been listening to the Simply Strategic Show with Tim Stevens and Tony Morgan. For more information, visit wiredchurches.com. Copyright 2006.